All right, let's get started this morning. I'm glad you're here. 1 Corinthians 11, we're absolutely blessed. I want to start in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. That always tickled me. You know, that grape juice is awfully strong. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Verse 23, he says, For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. He says, Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, notice this bread, and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body. And he's not talking about a physical piece of bread and a physical. That was the confusion. They're out there getting physical bread and physical wine and getting drunk. And they're, this is not that. He was talking about communion. Brother Moore had a great thing on fellowship and communion that he said, and he drew out a boat. People have to get along. There are fellows in a ship. Fellowship. Meaning that if you got mutiny on that boat, it ain't no fun. But if they're all rowing the same direction, if they're all doing the same thing, if they're all committed to the same cause, if they're all committed to that, that fellowship is rich. And that's exactly what we need. We need rich fellowship. And communion's like that. It's like becoming one with something. Notice a couple things about, go to Ephesians, and notice the communion or the fellowship in Ephesians chapter 5. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. End of the passage. Ephesians 5, verse 30. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning what? Christ and the church. See, it's about oneness. I'm in oneness with God. I'm in communion with God. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. I'm in oneness with him. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That when you partake of this book and you eat of it and you drink of this blood and you're covered in the blood of Christ, you're in fellowship with the Lord. You're in communion. But there could be people here that aren't saved. Therefore, they're not fellowshipping. So what happens? Well, if we started giving the Eucharist out and started giving chips and wafers and wine and all that, well, people would think, well, see, I did it and I'm in. But that doesn't mean they're in at all. And see, what Paul's saying is, I want you to know that you're in and that you're in fellowship. And let me tell you, when you start to realize, go to Galatians chapter 6. I want to start in verse 4. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For verse 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The realization is when you're in communion, if you let your flesh get out there, and you know how that is, you won't feel like you're in communion. That's where the whole idea of backsliding started. You know, you have backslid from the Lord. Well, you don't feel like you're in fellowship, but in truth, you are. The reason that we don't feel that we're in fellowship, sometimes we don't feel like we're walking, is because we're walking in the flesh. Doesn't mean that we're not. We are in the Lord. Amen. And, you know, how many verses can I name? Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are what? Complete in Him. You know, you have all the elements of God in you, and yet we still walk in the flesh. You know why? We're robed of this flesh. What does the fruit of the flesh produce? All the fruit of the flesh, as in Galatians chapter 5. So go back to communion in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That means they've died. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat and tarry for one another, if a man's hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. Now, that's weird. I mean, the basic sense of the Lord's Supper is if you come together and do this, you're basically condemning some people. And that's probably true in this sense. How many people thought that when they got baptized, something happened? And they trust their baptism, or they trust that they ate the Lord's Supper, or they trust they did this, but they never ended up getting saved until later. How many here had been baptized before they got saved? The majority. And the point that I'm making is that these people would eat of this Lord's Supper and say, see, I'm part of it, when they weren't part of it at all. And let me tell you, the Lord's Supper and fellowship we talked about for the last couple weeks now, you start to realize that you are one with the Lord. In fact, we should all be of the same mind and the same spirit. We should all be doing. Well, why is it so fragmented in churches today? Why are one church doing the Lord's Supper every Sunday? How many's heard of that? And then some do it every fourth Sunday. I mean, if we were to do it, he says, as often as you do this, remember me. Well, wouldn't you want to do it every day? Why would you do it once a month or once at Christmas? You are in fellowship. You're eating of that bread. I mean, you all understand that the Word is the bread. And you're breaking the bread. You're opening it and you're digesting it and you're in fellowship. I mean, folks, why would you only do it once a month or once every 6 months? Or, I mean, hey, we're having a special communion. Everybody show up and everybody shows up. You know, it's crazy. Folks, you're to be a partakers of that bread. As in where we were at John 6. Go back to John 6. It's amazing to me how we've gotten so far away from that which is true. Look what he says. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Underline that. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna. You know what the manna reminds me of? Is that wafer. Your fathers ate that manna that was in the wilderness and are dead. That can't give you life. Folks, no wafer up here is going to give you life. What gives you life is the blood of Christ. It's partaking of Him. There was an old expression back in the 70s, says, you are what you eat. That's true. Spiritually, it's true. Now watch what he says. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. That's the bread I want to taste of. That's the bread that I want to put into my body. Why, folks, you can't... Listen, let me tell you what. I can guarantee you most of us could be eating this Word a little bit more than we're doing and eat of the bread of life and have the joy and the happiness and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness that would come with knowing the Lord. Remember what it said in Galatians? You know, he says, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, what's the deal there? What is the point that I want you to see there? Folks, listen to me. That bread you partake of, you become one with that bread. Listen, I believe we need a brainwashing in America. Say, how are you? Man, it's bad. Oh, Lord, it's terrible. Why is it terrible? Now, let me see. Let me see how terrible it is. I was going to hell, and I now get into heaven. I was going to be in the lowest hell, and I'm sitting in the right hand of God with my Savior. I've got everything provided for me. I'm joint heirs with the Lord. Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, what are you fellowshipping in? Are you fellowshipping in the Lord? People say, I want to take a rest. My granny on the way and says, I want to take a rest. That's what I want. Hey, time ain't now to rest. You know what now today is? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you get to share the joy of the Lord. Man, that's incredible when you really think about it. You can help someone eat of that bread and drank of that drink, and that they would receive it, would have eternal life. You're carrying the bread. You know what most of us do? Boy, that church service is sure good. Hey, turn on the TV. Oh, it's Sunday. Where is my Bible? I know I love... Oh, there it is. I'm going to church. I guarantee you that's what most of us do. And the idea of John is to partake, to eat, to digest, to put it in us, to cause our hearts. Listen, how do you change your mind of something? You repeat what you want. Listen, I have learned a lot just over the last couple of weeks about me. I'm a very negative person. And you realize that when you have a contrast. You say, well, gosh, you're one of the most positive. I've had people say, you're one of the most positive. You say, you don't know. You ought to know my friend Bill Johnson. You would know. Life's always down. Life's always a bummer. Life's all, you know, the problem with us is we're not eating of the bread. We're not eating of it. We're in our little pity party of life. Man, if you were in communion with the Lord, what would you feel? Look at how Paul felt. I mean, look at the attitude of Paul. Go to Acts chapter 20. Yeah, there would be some rejoicing, wouldn't it, there? Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost is witness in every city, saying, bonds and affliction abide in me. But none of these things move me. You know why I didn't move him? You want to know why he was unmovable, worrying about bonds and affliction? Because he had the Word of God in him. So I'd like to have faith. Amen. You want to have faith? Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to put it in, and you got to desire it. You got to say, I'm hungry. People say, well, I've heard this before. You know what? Larry's told me he's read the book Cybernetics. And you can't just read it. You got to keep. And that's how it is with the Bible. Listen, you got to put it in regularly. You know what I found out about life? It's kind of like this. There's a hole in the bottom, and it drops out. And if you're not completely putting it back in occasionally, guess what? It's empty. And that's when you get on your pity potty. And you're old me. And life is bad. And I ache. Well, who cares? You ain't got no pain that isn't. Listen, let me tell you what. You should have joy in that. You know what Paul said? You know what if you know what 2 Corinthians 12? Anybody quote me 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9? What does 2 Corinthians 12, 9 say? He went to the Lord thrice and he said, depart this. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul then echoes back, then most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ can rest upon. I'll glory in it. You know what most people, they want you to feel sorry for their situation. Life isn't good. Oh, you know what Job said about these days that you live? He says they're few and full of trouble. Oh, you got it wrong. Life is bad. Really? Paul knew that when he went to Jerusalem that bonds and affliction abided. You know what his attitude was? You know what the attitude of the grace believer ought to be? This, right here, watch this. Verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with what? And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Hey, Paul, you're going to get beat up. You're going to be thrown in jail. You're going to have afflictions. Life is going to be bad. Either none of these things move me. Neither I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish the course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus. You got a ministry. How many here are saved? Say amen. You got a ministry. You know what? You get depressed and your life's all bummed out and everything. You know, there ain't nothing new to your life that hadn't happened to someone else's life. Wake up! Man, you're in communion with the Lord. And you know why you're feeling sorry for yourself? You ain't put the Word of God in, and you want everybody to go, oh, poor Larry, poor Diane, poor Barry, poor Mac. Oh, Mac's got it. Poor Jim. Oh, no, Tamara. Poor Tamara. You know? You ought to be smiling. I was once blind, now I see. I was lost and now I'm saved. I was going to hell and I'm allowed into the great heavens next to my Savior. You know what? You know why we don't walk in the Spirit? We ain't feeding it. We ain't getting it in. You know, when you start feeling sorry for yourself, when you start feeling tired, and when you start feeling sick, and when you start feeling hurt, you know what you ought to do? You know how to read the Bible. When you make those feelings in your mind, I want to quit. I want to go to bed. I'm tired. I'm sick of this world. When you start feeling that, you ought to read the Word of God and think out what great blessings you have in the fellowship. Paul went to prison. Yeah, there's Paul and Silas in Acts 16, fettered to the wall. And you know what? They weren't going, man, we're in jail. Come get me, lawyer. Get me out. They go, what's that sound I hear down the hall? Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus my blessed Redeemer. Sing all earth His wonderful love proclaim. They're going, what is wrong with those people? Don't they realize they're in prison, fettered to a stone, hard, cold wall? And you know what fetters do? Well, yeah, but how about when you're ready to go to sleep? You pass out because you can't sleep. And you... Don't they realize their life is dismal? Don't they realize they're in prison? Someone go tell them. So you know who goes and checks on them? The Philippian jailer. Look at it. Look in Acts 16. Folks, look at, what am I trying to tell you? This wasn't the first time. I mean, you think... Amen. You know, I think about communion with the Lord. People down here taking the Lord's Supper, and they're griping and, excuse the word, bitching at their wives and husbands about all their lives, and they're as if somehow that does some. Folks, listen to me. The Word of God is made to be partaken of, and listen, it said to follow the Apostle Paul. Amen? Now remember that in 20, he'd already experienced some of these beatings. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrusted them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, and Silas prayed and sang. You know, they don't sound depressed. Hey, let's pray about this. And they sang praises. Sing praises. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
Man, it's just, you know, I mean, we're like dead in the grace churches. Oh, I know the mystery. Man, we ought to be, you know, we have partaken of the Lord. Paul has made us one with Christ. We have the mind of Christ. The Lord's Supper is about communion, not about a wafer and wine. It's about that living bread that if you eat of that bread, you will have life and you will never, ever die. Folks say, I'll never die. Go ahead. Have a heart attack. It doesn't matter. Say, I'm going to go. I'm old. Granny's the oldest one in here. She's 82. Maybe she'll be going tomorrow. Is she going tomorrow? Is she saved? Is she going tomorrow? No, she's just in another stage of life. Just passing through. That's right. And we put this thing in our mind. So what is it that we're to live for the Lord? Hey, Paul said, someone told Paul there in Acts chapter 20, think, hey, I hear bonds and affliction. He'd already been in bonds and affliction. He said, you think that's something? That's not bad. Beat the hell out of me. You know, it won't matter. You know what? Listen, if they beat me to death, are you listening? They beat me to death. They can't beat the life out of me. And Paul knew that and that attitude. Why? He's in communion with the Lord. But you know what happens? We don't read the Bible. We don't really put the Word of God in our mind. We don't really take in time and intricately think about the Word of God. And therefore, when the troubles come, we're like, Amen. Look what he said. Midnight, they're praying and singing. And the prisoners heard them. Huh? And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's band. You know, you had to be in that place, and how freaking those guards were. Those guards were, these are murderers. These are bad people, except Silas and Paul, and they're not running any. What? Can you? And the keeper of the prison awake out of his sleep and saw, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword and would have killed himself. Paul cries out. You know what he does here? Paul's in that prison to bring this Philippian jailer to the Lord. He's fettered to the wall, but the Lord wants him to witness to this Philippian jailer. So he made a situation so that he could. Paul didn't know what it was, but Paul did know something. What did he know? All things work together for the good of them that love God. So if he's in jail, it must work out for the good of them that love God. Did he love God? What did he realize? Hey, it's going to all work out for my good anyway. So you could do this. You could go, roll your shoulders over everybody. Or you can hold it back and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what happens to me. I am part of that bread now. I have partaken of that bread and I have life. Man, that's a life is, you know, I was driving down last night. It was starting to rain. I was thinking about, I'm running right next to the semi. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be wild if I have a blowout, slide up under that semi and I die. Hey, it could happen. I'm just thinking, you know, that could happen any second while I'm driving along. We're all going 20 miles an hour faster than the speed limit. You know, I don't know why they even put speed limits up now. You know, I'm doing 8 miles an hour and they're passing me like, whoom, whoom. And I'm like, wow. So I finally decided to keep up with three of them. They were doing 95 miles an hour. I'm like, sure got me home a little quicker. But I thought, what happens if one of us slip up? Yeah? Your mind starts thinking, you know? The first thing I think of, I'd be okay, but think of all those people that would die and end up in hell. It was weird. I don't normally have those kind of thoughts. I'm thinking, you know, there'd be some people that would die and go to hell. There was this guy that was just acting crazy yesterday. I would have reported him if I'd figured out how to get to the right authorities. Folks, listen to me. The communion with the Lord, the fellowship with the Lord, the thing is I have taken of that bread of life and I have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. I got it. I got life without end. Say, well, your life on this planet, yes, it will. It'll go. It will fade. Eventually, it's going to go. I loved your mom's thing about wanting her grandchildren. What a great mission. What mission are you on? You say, well, I've had communion. You know, the more you eat of this bread and drink of that wine, the more you'll realize you're way, way, way afar. The more I eat of this book, I realize how far I am from knowing the Lord. You guys, I guarantee you, you ever get to the point that you think you know Him, you're too far away. You probably need to restart again. Why did He act this way? Why did He say in Acts chapter 20, He knows this is going to happen to Him again? And He said that I might finish my ministry with joy. You know, as Baptists, we used to sing, I got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. And as grace believers of God, I've got dead. We ought to have joy. We have any people knowing the mystery of God should be saying, hallelujah. How many people have you talked to that haven't got a clue? I mean, it's crazy. And you got the clue. Someone gave you the key. Someone gave you the bread of life and you partook of it and you're one with that bread. And now you got the bread of life and you realize everyone around you is starving. And so you offer them the bread of life and they're going, You trying to get me to join your church? No, I want you to get saved. Do you all have a choir? Hey, listen, I want you to eat of this bread so you can live forever. I need Sunday school programs. Man, listen, I don't even care whether you come. I just want you to get saved. Well, I don't think I'm going to your church. You've got a bad attitude. The Lord's Supper was never intended to be something that physically was done. It was something that was very spiritual that we were to take in into ourselves. And I have been guilty of this. I tell you, I've been fortunate the last couple of weeks. I've been washing Brenda with the Word. And really, you know, I realized I wasn't washing her with the Word. I was washing me. And now Mom's joined us. Hadn't it been exciting, Mom? It just fills your heart. And I realized that it's better for me than for them. Because your communion, your partaking, you're being one with. And you know what? I'm reading this book called Think and Grow Rich. It's a sales book to help your mind and stuff. But you know, you really think about it, a thought. What you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you think you're pitiful, well, you are. If you think you're broke, say, I'm broke. You are. How many in here right now, really? I mean, it's an experiment, just a thought, could think that they could be a millionaire still in their life. You just don't even know. 1 minute millionaire. I read a book called Cracking the Millionaire Code. And the reason I'm relating this is because the same thing's true of those books is what you put in your mind as what the Bible is. Unfortunately, people will worry more about money than they do their spiritual life. Don't get it out of balance. You're reading a book called The Greatest Salesman in the World, basically, by Og Mandino. One of the things that has these tablets. And you read these tablets for 31 days, right? Isn't that what it? Then you read the next tablet, and I think there are 10 tablets? Yeah, it's 10 months. Now, if you did that same exact thing, read 1 Corinthians 1 every day for 31 days, what do you think would happen? It'd start transforming your mind. And you know, that's exactly what God said in Romans chapter 12. Look at it. So communion and fellowship, and let me get back to the marriage. Remember that he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And the idea is, he says, he's speaking concerning the church, right? Well, listen, I know everything, well, not everything probably, but most things about Brenda. We're intimate. I know everything. Her emotional well-being, her financial goals, spiritually, mentally. I know what food she likes. And let me tell you, that always flips me out. She likes, like, she'll eat things that I'm like, don't you want to eat? And she's like eating a hard-boiled egg. You like that? Oh, you're as dumb as she is. I like grits, eggs, and bacon for breakfast. You know what I mean? She'll take a hard-boiled egg, cold, hard-boiled egg. I'm like, oh. All right. But my point is, I know her. The point is, I know her. You all understand? I know her. I know things about her she probably doesn't know about herself even. We're so close. Well, we should know the Lord that well. Where did I tell you to turn? Romans 12. Watch this. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Now, how do you do that? Study to show thyself approved. I mean, it didn't say just go out and witness. It didn't say go out and talk to people. You have to renew your mind day by day. You have to put these thoughts in your mind and renew your mind. Why? Why would you want to do that? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, that's strong. Man, we sing that song, Wonderful Words of Life, Words of Life. I mean, you know what? Listen, let me tell you what you have in your mouth and your capacity to give out life. There's some people I find hard to witness to. You ever find that? You know who you have to work on to get to witness to them? You. What do I have to do in my life so that I will be an effectual minister of the gospel? You have to read a lot. Like, what is it that I could... And then all of a sudden they'll talk about something and you'll go, I've read that in the Bible. There's a relationship to that. Do you realize that you could read through the Bible every 84 days by reading just 10 chapters a day? You know how many times that is in a year? Almost four times a year. Almost four times a year. If you read through the Bible four times a year and you did it every year until now, until you died, how many times do you think you'd read through the Bible? Well, come on, that's predictable. Yeah. Oh, you mean if you don't die tomorrow? Yeah. Amen. That's true. Do y'all understand? That's a lot of Bible reading. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so you know what you have to do? Said, I've already read 1 Corinthians. How about if you did it like Og Mandino's book and read that chapter 10 times, the 31 times? Do you think you'd pick something out of it you think you hadn't seen before? You go, man, I read this yesterday. I don't remember reading this. It happened to me all the time. I was reading 1 Corinthians and I came across it and I said, you know, I have read this Bible at least 8 times all the way through. And I've read Romans through Philemon probably 100 times. And I told Brenda, I don't even ever remember this verse. Where was this verse? I'm like, I had to stop and it was a great verse. I can't even remember where it was, but it was like in 1 Corinthians 6 or 7. And I'm like, that's the most positive, incredible statement I've ever heard out of anybody's mouth. And I don't even remember reading it once, not once in the Bible. She laughed. She said, I don't remember it either. I know it's a gun thing. People say, you want to have communion? Listen, let me tell you what. I couldn't wait to get home to Brenda. You know why? There's something new I'm going to discover about Brenda that I'm going to just love. You know, how about that with the Word of God? See, that's why he used marriage in him in the relationship. Well, you know what? Be careful. He says, verse 3, for this I say through the grace that is given on me to every man among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but that he should. But to think soberly, according as God to dealt to every man a measure of faith. Hey, don't get so puffed up in knowledge. You know what? Realize that what you've got has been given to you of God. Brother Moore described it as this. Why don't you eat of the bread, piping hot bread, out of the ovens of a holy and righteous God? I used to love that. Why don't you eat a piece of bread? Boy, you know how you get those rolls? And those rolls come out of the bread and... I mean, it's steaming and you melt butter on the top and you take that and it just smushes in your mouth. And it tastes so darn good you can't even see straight. You know what I mean? Man, And you go, oh, now I wish I had a little honey butter. So you get a honey butter and melt it on the inside. And you go, take your second bite. And it is like, oh, my. Now, listen, guys. If you thought of the Word of God like that, you'd be fat in Scripture. Communion, you'd become one with that bread. And first, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think it is. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness on him. He can't eat of that bread, as in 1 Corinthians 11. If he eats of that bread unworthily, he's what? He's condemned. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why do you have the mind of Christ? Because you have eaten of that bread and you have had communion. He's not talking about some physical wafer. He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about being one with the Lord and walking in the mind. You know why Paul was so spiritual? He didn't count anything. He counted all things but loss. Oh, look at the attitude. Go to Philippians chapter 3 where he said that. See, guys, Paul was one with the Lord. Verse 8. Philippians 3, verse 8. We'll be coming. Listen, Paul is our pattern. Amen? Paul is our apostle. Well, what did Paul do? Hey, he was one with the Word of God. How well was this one? That the words that he wrote with his hands became Scriptures, guys. They were, in fact, the Word of God. If you pinned something with your hand, would it be Scripture? He wrote half the New Testament. Would the things that you write with your hand be Scripture or just self-promotion? Philippians 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Well, how do you get that? Study. For whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him. How would you do that? By being in communion. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection. Hey, we sing that song on Easter. Up from the grave He arose! And you know what? I'm going to do the same thing. That power is not... I have the power. I mean, your attitude ought to be completely different. I see people say, I'm poor. I can't afford it. How many of you heard someone say that? You know what you're telling your mind? You can't do it. What would be the verse of Scripture you should have? I can do all things through Christ. Give me another one. So when you say, I can't, what have you just done? You've limited God. Not limited yourself, you limited God. Here's the way you should talk to yourself. How can I afford it? You want a yacht? You can have a yacht. You want to have $1 million? You can have $1 million. That's not even a big deal with God. What's a big deal with God is how you think. What are your thoughts? I don't feel good. Well, how are you going to feel? I'm not happy. I need a husband. No, you don't. I need a wife. No, you don't. I need $1 million. No, you don't. What you need to do is get your thinking from stinking. Stinking thinking. You know why? You should be washing it every day with the Word. Scrubbing it. You know what? It has such evil thoughts. Think about it for just a minute. Satan wants you to give up. Man, listen, don't give up. Why would you give up? It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. He said, let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. And you're the vocal piece for God. A man cannot get saved or a woman cannot get saved without you opening your mouth. You could have died for all the sins. You could have paid it all. And nobody would know it if Paul hadn't opened his mouth. How could he open his mouth under such distress? Because he was in fellowship with the Lord. He was in communion with the Lord. And you know what? Larry always makes this joke about he's seen the third heaven. Well, maybe the Lord said, you know what? You've really done some incredible things, Paul. I'm going to let you see the third heaven. So what happens? He goes out and gets stoned, left for dead. And he says in 2 Corinthians, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. It's amazing. I'm going to give you something special. All right, let's stone them, guys. What you going to do? Poof. Poof. This is special. You know what? If you were willing to do that, he may take you to the third heaven, too. Yeah, when he woke up in his body, he would have, after that, you know, going, man, I can't believe I'm back. And then he goes, march back into the same town he just came out of. Guys, listen to me. When you fellowship with the Lord, and it is hard to study, amen? Now, how many wives got washed with the Word? Mary, did you get a little washing? You got to tell Wayne, I need to be washed. I'm a dirty old girl. You know? Why? Because listen, let me tell you, what goes into your mind is what you begin to think on. You are the summation of all the thoughts in your mind. Are you putting in Scripture? Or are you putting in your own thoughts and your own perception of what you think it might be? But whatever you put in there, you know what the bad part is? It sticks pretty hard. You put in TV all the time? Guess what? Sticks. You put in the Word of God? It'll stick. You know? And you got to continue putting it in until it becomes you. It's up north, they call me the walking Bible, and it's so funny. I'm like, you don't know Brother Moore. If you knew Brother Moore, you'd say, you don't know nothing. You know, so I don't let them meet Brother Moore. You know, I don't even send them a tape. You know, I'm smarter than that. And it isn't that. And you know what? In the last couple of years, I've slacked on really heavy reading. But just in the last 3 weeks since we talked about, well, actually 4 weeks since we've been talking about washing the wine, I have enjoyed that more than, it's unbelievable. So y'all take a break.